If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to share a message this morning that I feel is timely. You know, you don't need me to tell you that this has been a year and a time in our lives and in our nation, our world, like no other. And the question comes that during times like this, who are you and I depending on? Where are we looking? And as you turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, very familiar portion of Scripture. The Israelites, of course, are in exile, and God speaks to them through the prophet Jeremiah. We pick up in Jeremiah 29, verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. The title of my message today is, Where Do You Turn? Where do you turn? In his book, The Folly of Prayer, Matt Woodley says, prayer can feel mysteriously difficult, boringly perfunctory, and frustratingly out of our control. Often, prayer brings us comfort, but sometimes, especially when there aren't resolutions or prayers go unanswered, it intensifies and focuses our sense of longing, pain, and care. He goes on to say that prayer isn't necessarily efficient or even comprehensible. Sometimes we feel and know the palpable presence of God and we cry out, thank you. Aren't you thankful for those times? At other times we experience more of God's haunting, mysterious, unpredictable absence and we scream, where are you? And we usually can't predict God's next move. You ever have times like that? He goes on to say, in this sense, praying to our untamed God can be frustrating, perplexing, and even agonizing. So the question arises, why pray? Why should you turn to God in your hour of need? Well, we're asking the question, where do you turn? In this year like no other, to what are you clinging? To whom are you turning for answers during this time? Well, it comes as no surprise to any of you, whether you're here in the sanctuary or watching online, that this pastor's going to say we should turn to Almighty God. How many are surprised by my saying that? No one. But why? Why should we turn to God? Especially if, as Matt Woodley says, sometimes we've experienced those times when it seems like God's not there. Well, I want to share with you four reasons I believe now more than ever we should turn to Almighty God. You know, government is not the answer. I know we have an election coming up, and it's a very important election. I'll have more to say about it in the next few weeks. And we should be involved and concerned. We should vote. All that's important. But government's not the answer. The size of our 401k is not the answer. Our own ability, our own understanding is not the answer. The experts around us, have you noticed how the experts have contradicted themselves about this pandemic over and over and over again? I just read this week that, it's been said the virus lives on a surface an hour and a half. Japanese scientists just said it lives 9 hours. Who knows? They've learned a lot about it, but there's a lot they don't know. And every expert opinion, it seems, is trumped by the next expert opinion. There's so much we don't know. And I appreciate scientists, I appreciate medical researchers and all those who are a whole lot smarter than me. But in the end, where do you turn? I believe we need to turn to Almighty God now like never before. What are the reasons for that? Number one, we turn to God because He is accessible to you. He says in verse 13, "You will seek me and find me." God is accessible. You know, when you have to, you ever try and join something or re-sign in to a website, and you run through, you put your password in, and guess what? It's not the right one. And so you go through your list of passwords. You ever do that? You exhaust them all. None of that. And so you have to go to forgot your password for the umpteenth time. Anybody go through that beside me? Oh, thank you. I was feeling I was all alone there. And it's frustrating. You can't get access. Or you call a business about a problem, and you go into answering machine oblivion, you know. Connect to this person, press this button, and hope you get so, and all our hours are so, and you can't get access. And there are people who trust in other gods and trust in other resources, and they find at the time when they need the most. You know, we've heard stories of times when 911 is not accessible. Boy, that's awful, isn't it? You need access, and when you need it most, you can't get access. Can I tell you something? You can always, always get access to your God. He is always available to you, 24/7. You say, Pastor Tim, well, we know that. Yeah, but I think we need to really understand that. Because so many times we go through the litany, it's like we go through our own passwords, you know, of life. And we try this and we try that and we try everything. And we need to remember that Almighty God is accessible. He's available. I talked about, phone machine oblivion. Can you imagine if God had an answering machine? Oh, perish the thought, right? Imagine praying and hearing this. Thank you for calling your father's house. Please select one of the following four options. Press 1 for requests. Press 2 for thanksgiving. Press 3 for complaints for all other inquiries. Press 4. What do I press? I don't know. Imagine these responses. If you'd like to speak with the angel Gabriel, press 1. For Michael, press 2. For any other angel, press 3. If you want King David to sing you a psalm, press 6. To find out if your relative is here, enter his or her date of death and listen for the list that follows. For reservations to your father's house, simply press the letters J-O-H-N on the keypad followed by 316. For answers to nagging questions about dinosaurs, the age of the earth, and where Noah's Ark is, wait until you get here. Our computers show that you have called once today. Please hang up immediately. Or imagine getting this from God's answering machine. This office is closed for the weekend. Please call again on Monday. Imagine if God's accessibility was like ours. But it's not. God says, "You seek me and you will find me." What a comfort. What a blessing. You and I, church, are never alone. We are never on our own. We don't serve a God who can't hear us, who is unavailable to us. His eyes are up upon us. Did you know that? His eyes are on you every moment of every day. His eyes are on you when you're sleeping. His eyes are on you when you're not even thinking about Him. He is focused like a laser focus on you, and He is accessible to you. Oh, how foolish we are to struggle on and to try and get along the best we can when our Heavenly Father, the Creator and the Sovereign God over the universe, is so easily accessible to us. He said to Israel while they were in captivity, and He says to you and me today in 2020, in this year like no other years, He says, if you seek me, you will find me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you feel kind of out of on your own? Do you feel like the problems that you're dealing with that you just have to struggle through and muddle through the best you can? I'm here to tell you to the contrary. Your God is accessible to you. Your God is available to you. And if you would call upon His name, you would find that He is available to you. God is accessible to you. That's why we should trust in Him. What's the second reason? Not only is God accessible to you, but you should turn to Him because He's attentive to you. He is attentive to you. He says in verse 12, I will listen to you. Boy, that's so simple yet so profound. God listens. How many of you, we all have. What about that time when you talk to someone and you share something from the heart, you share something important? And the response you get, even if you get one, makes you ask the question, have you even been listening to me? You ever have that experience? Of course you have. That's awful, isn't it? You're here sharing your heart, sharing your feelings, and someone you're talking to, I mean, what about those times when you're talking with someone and maybe face-to-face and their eyes are just every, you know, it's like they're looking for a better conversation or something. You know, and their attention is everywhere but on you. They are not listening. That is an awful feeling. And we live in a world where people are so focused on saying what they have to say and delivering their own message that it seems like many times no one listens to us. That is so simple, yet it's so critical, isn't it? Not only is God accessible to you and me, not only can we get in contact with Him, but He is listening to us. The Scripture says His ear is attuned to our cry. Moms that are here, you know when your baby was born. And now they put the baby right in the room with you, I think, from the beginning. But, you know, we were back, you know, being as old as we are. We were back in the day when the baby was in the nursery with the other babies. And my wife could hear our baby, all the babies crying, she could identify, couldn't you, hon, the cry of our baby. And you know, moms, you know you're like that. Maybe it's kids on a playground, and one kid, you're not looking for a second, you hear a cry, somebody's falling, that's my child. Why? You're attuned to them, right? You're on that frequency. And we're the children of our Heavenly Father. Our cry, His ear is attuned to our frequency. He will listen. Do you feel like nobody listens? Do you feel like nobody hears what you have to say? The Scriptures record how over and over again, when we pour out our heart to Him, and whatever you're feeling through this pandemic, or whatever it's caused in your life, in the lives of your family members, or whatever's happening in your life, I want you to know, when it seems like nobody on this planet will listen to you, your Heavenly Father will listen to you. Praise God. Praise God. Stories told of Franklin Roosevelt. I've shared this before, but I just have to share it again. He often, like all presidents, endured long receiving lines at the White House. And so one day he complained that nobody really listened to anything that was said. So one day President Roosevelt decided to try an experiment. To each person who came down the line and shook his hand, he murmured, I murdered my grandmother this morning. Guests responded with phrases like, marvelous, keep up the good work, we are proud of you, God bless you, sir, when he said he murdered his grandmother. Well, not till the end of the line, while one ambassador from Bolivia greeted him. He finally heard what he said, and the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "Mr. President, I'm sure she had it coming." But it seems as if nobody listens. Teenage prostitutes during interviews in a San Francisco study were asked, "Is there anything you needed most and couldn't get that led to the lifestyle you find yourself in?" Their response, invariably preceded by sadness and tears, was almost unanimous. They said, "What I needed most was someone to listen to me. Someone who cared enough to listen to me." I wonder today how many people have gone down the wrong road. How many people have had their lives ruined and marred and wrecked. And I wonder how different their life story would have been if at a critical time in their lives there was only someone to listen to them. And if you're here today and you feel all on your own, you feel like nobody wants to hear what you have to say, I want you to know, above all, your Heavenly Father, His ear is attuned to your cry. Are you confused? Are you angry? Did you know when we're angry with God, we can express it to Him? "Pastor Tim, I would never do that. I would never tell God I'm angry at Him." Can I let you in on a little secret? He knows your thoughts. Right? He's the all-knowing, omniscient God. When you're angry at God, and we get angry at God, don't we? Things we don't understand, a lost loved one, why we go through a trial. We get angry at God. And He knows our thoughts. Why not get it out of your system? He can take it. He's God. "Lord, this is how I feel. I don't understand." He will listen to you. He will hear your heart's cry. Thank God for a God who's available, accessible to us, and a God who is attentive to us. He listens to us. Amen? Amen. Let me challenge you. You know, we go through things like this, and we've never gone through anything just like we're going through now, but we go through trying times, and we do everything, it seems, except talk to God. Cast your care upon Him. I quoted it earlier during prayer time, because He cares for you. We can go to God because He is attentive to us. Thirdly, you should turn to God because He is active on your behalf. He says in verse 14, "I will bring you back." I will bring you, Israel, back from exile. I will bring you back into the land that is yours. I will act on your behalf. You know, every nation in Israel's day, they had their own gods. Some nations had thousands of quote-unquote gods. And they would be represented by various idols, by various statues and idols made out of stone or metal or wood. And people would worship these idols. And these were their gods. And they had a folklore and mythology about God of the skies and God of the trees and God of the water, gods of the land, gods of the sun. They had gods upon gods, thousands of gods. But as we know, the Scripture is very clear. There's one true God. Amen? We worship the living God. And only the living God acts on our behalf. Only the living God, as we sang this morning, makes mountains move. Only the living God uses praise to shake prison walls. Hallelujah. Only the living God does creative miracles, and He is our God today. Dr. Helen Rosevear, missionary to Zaire, told this following story. She said, "A mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. She said, we tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children to pray for the baby and for her sister. And one of the girls responded, 'Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. Imagine giving God a deadline. And dear Lord, send a doll for her sister so she won't feel so lonely. That afternoon, that very afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children, the doctor said, watched eagerly as we opened it. Much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, "If God sent that, I'm sure He also sent a doll," and she was right. The Heavenly Father knew in advance of that child's request, and get this, 5 months earlier, that package was packed up and put in the mail. It arrived the very day that little girl prayed. God is a God who acts on our behalf. God is a God who answers prayer. God is a God who performs miracles on our behalf. Hallelujah. You've heard me share about God doing a financial miracle for our church. Many of you have in 2002. And God's done various miracles, healings in our church body. And that's why we're believing with Michelle. God still has you here. He's still working, and we're believing with you. Because He's a God who acts on behalf of His children. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never has an off day. Amen? He never is just under the weather. He's never subpar. He's never a little bit off. You ever have a day when you feel just a little bit off? It's like, man, I should go back to bed and try again tomorrow. God never has a day where He's even a little bit off. But He's a God who acts on our behalf. He's a God who can. He's the God who walked with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace and rescued them out of Nebuchadnezzar's hands. He's the God of Daniel who quieted the mouth of the lions and was able to deliver him from their grasp. He's the God of Moses who parted the Red Sea and drowned the Egyptian army that pursued God's people. He's the God of David that guided the single stone from his sling to Goliath's head. He's the God that raised Jesus from the dead and defeated death, hell, and the grave that first Easter Sunday. He is a God that is greater than my understanding or my ability to explain who He is. He is the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. And He makes mountains move. He shakes prison walls. Hallelujah. He heals sick bodies. He raises the dead. He provides financial miracles. Hallelujah. He's the glory and the lifter of our heads. Hallelujah. He's a God who acts on behalf of His people. And we need to turn to Him in faith and believe Him to do mighty miracles on our behalf. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You and I need to turn to Almighty God because He's accessible to us. And because He's attentive to us. He listens to our cry because He's a God who acts on our behalf. And fourthly, we need to turn to Him because He has aspirations for us. He has plans for us. Verse 11, I know you know this verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." The scripture says in Psalm 139, "Before I was conceived in my mother's womb, the Lord ordained every one of my days." Can you fathom that? Before you were even conceived, physically conceived, your Heavenly Father had plans for your life. Wow. I mean, if you remember nothing else today, remember that. How profound is that? Every one of your days was planned by your Heavenly Father before one of them came to be. He has plans for you. He has an agenda for you. And I've said this many, many times. Those of you who've been in our church for the last 28 and a half years since it started have heard me say this countless times, but I'm going to say it again. God's plans for you and for me are far greater, far grander, far bigger than our plans for ourselves could ever be. It's a good thing to plan, isn't it? We plan the best we can, but we don't always, our plans don't always turn out. But God has plans for you and me. There's never a time when something catches God by surprise. Can you imagine God saying, whoops, I didn't plan for that? Heard a story about O'Brien Middle School in Reno, Nevada, planned to reward their top students with a trip to Six Flags Marine World in Vallejo, California. They lined up four buses. They took the four-hour trip to Northern California. And when they got to the park, they found the gates locked. No one thought to check the park schedule. It was closed. The principal said in a real duh moment, somebody should have checked. God's plans never go awry. God's plans never go awry. In the Disney animated film Frozen, Olaf the snowman sings a song explaining how he longs for summer and all the wonderful things he has heard about the warmer season. And he desires to experience a different season of the year than winter and wants to experience the sun. But of course, we know what happens to snowmen in the sun, don't we? Snowmen don't survive the spring, let alone the summer. And you know, we're kind of like that snowman, Olaf the snowman. We have plans, and we think, wouldn't this be nice? Like the snowman saying, wouldn't summer be nice? We say, wouldn't this be nice? And we have no idea that those plans aren't best for us. Let me tell you, whatever your plans are, whatever my plans are, his plans are better. He knows best. And we can't always understand his plans, can we? We can't always follow, and we question, God, why have you allowed this? And why is this happening? Why are you doing this? But you see, his plans are far better than our own plans. This morning, during this time of upheaval, time of uncertainty, time of struggle, time of strife, where are you turning? What's your go-to move? Where do you look? Where do you turn? I submit to you this morning that we need to turn to Almighty God, because first of all, he's accessible to us. We won't have trouble getting through. Secondly, he's attentive to us. God will listen. If you feel today like nobody listens to what you have to say, to the outpouring of your heart, your Heavenly Father will listen to you. Amen? Thirdly, he's active on your behalf. He's the God who can. He's the God who will. He was faithful then. He'll be faithful now. As the praise team comes, we're going to sing that again. And fourthly, you should turn to Almighty God, because he has aspirations for you. He has plans for you. And as I've said also many times, God will deliver you to your destiny.